Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. Another chance to speak from the heart. I love the work of the Holy Spirit. I always say that I love the move of the Holy Spirit, that He's moving by His Spirit, or that He's speaking from the heart of the Father. And I truly adore the way that God moves in His people. You know, the Holy Spirit is always in action. He's always continuing the move of God, the plan of God. See, a lot of times people, they don't fully value the mission of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus said He came to do. Let's think about this logically for a moment. What if you were a businessman, a school teacher, a preacher, a man of influence, a person that's trying to do something very complicated? And you had access to a friend that knew everything about everything and could tell you anything. And it'd be the truth, and it'd be something that will cause you to just totally transform not only your life, but the lives of those who hear your advice. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit came to do. Jesus didn't say that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth that pertains to the mission of God only. He didn't say that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth sometimes. He didn't say that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth when He feels like it. He said that when the Spirit of truth will come, He will guide you into all truth, period. Now, the ball's in our court. You know, in a tennis match, or a soccer ball game, they hit the ball in your court, and you got to hit it back. The Holy Spirit standing there ready to give you whatever information you need. Are we asking Him the questions we need to ask Him? Now, this is what makes the difference, the motivation. If your heart, if you're seeking the Lord, if you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, if your heart is pure toward the Lord, you see Him, you're looking for Him. You want to know His answers. All right, now that's who God was talking about when He gave them the Holy Spirit. With that, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And we need His guidance because the enemy is out there trying to trap us. He's trying to, just like when Jesus walked the earth, Satan was always trying to get Him in some kind of trap. The Pharisees were trying to get Him to say something so they could have something to accuse Him with. They were always trying to mess Him up. Jesus is going about doing good, doing the Father's will. And the enemy was trying to get Him in some kind of legal trouble. And every time they asked Him hard questions to try to trip Him up, He'd answer them with so much wisdom that they couldn't have nothing to say against Him. Now, if you study how they did Jesus, how the Pharisees did Jesus, that's the very same way that that the world system and false preachers, false teachers, false prophets, and everybody under the influence of Satan, that's exactly how the enemy do you. And even evil spirits, they come to lie to you. You can't see them, but the evil influences are always there to direct you away from asking the Lord your questions. That would definitely make the difference. When I first read these scriptures, I said, you know, it seemed like Christians can do anything if they knew it. And they don't act like they know what they got. Now, I'm like in my 20s. This was before the Lord called me to the ministry. When I learned about what a man could do if he had the Holy Spirit, I expected them to be more like Mom Powell. I thought everybody that had the Holy Spirit acted like her. Found out that she was the exception when she should be the rule. It should be everybody that had the Holy Spirit had a relationship where they dialogue with the Lord and speak the kind of wisdom she had. It should have been the rule. More than that, if people could really do this, they should be further along in life. And some people do it, and some people, most people don't. And when the Lord said to me, the biggest problem in the world is my people don't follow me. Now think for a moment about the body of Christ being a body, headed by God. Do you realize what we're capable of if that's the case? Years ago, Marilyn Hickey went to, she had to preach in one of the, in Saudi Arabia, or not Saudi Arabia, it was Palestine. It was one of the Muslim countries. And she had, she was going to do a meeting there. And they have a government news agency, and they said that the meeting was canceled. But she had the meeting anyway, because the Holy Spirit told her to do it, and she did it anyway. And when she had the meeting, over 3,000 people came. After the government media said it was canceled. And she asked the question, so many of y'all came, and they said it was canceled. And I know they said it was canceled. It was broadcast that way. But y'all came. Why did y'all come? And they all said they were guided by the Holy Spirit. And she had a move of God meeting right there in that Muslim country. And she was full of wisdom and the Holy, and she was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now, if the true church is guided by, they will yield to the Holy Spirit. The problem is mainstream ministry they did a very poor job of showing people how they could be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of good men of God, they told the truth. They said, I remember Kenneth Hagin talked, he wrote a book about being led by the Spirit of God. And many others taught about it, and they teach about it. But for some reason, people just don't get it. And some preachers are mainstream, and they don't talk about being led by the Holy Spirit. But they are. And they know of it because the Holy Spirit give them things to do, and they do it, and it works. And then they talk about it. Now, this makes the difference. When you're looking unto Jesus, when your eye is fixed on him, when your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. When your whole body is full of light, and you see things that God is alerting you to, all you have to do is walk in it. Easy. Now, my message is, go back to that. If the Lord can guide you into all truth, why don't you kill your problems? Why don't you conquer every problem that comes up? Why not ask him for wisdom in your business, wisdom in your marriage, counsel, so that you can live better? And I was divorced before, and I used to get my children on the weekend. And so when they would come, I knew they, being divorced, children of a divorced home, they had to deal with things. So I said, Lord, give me what to say to them. And he would give me thoughts just to share with them. It'll be much like a message, which they really were messages. But they were messages from me to my children. And I raised them that way. And we would start out, we would talk every Saturday morning. And it was, you know, I didn't mean to talk about 30 minutes, but sometimes 3 hours would go by. They would be engaged in a Holy Ghost conversation. Then I'd take them to church, and the children's church, they say the same thing. On youth night, when little Jim would minister, he used the same scripture, same thoughts, because it came from the Holy Ghost. Then Pastor would tag it when he preached. Pastor McCann would always, we would be out there in the audience, and he'd say the same thing, and we'd look at each other. I'm so glad that they were raised around the Holy Spirit. No matter what happens in their life, they know. They have something to come back to, and they have something to go forward with. And they saw people get healed. They've been healed. The move of God. And I don't believe in exaggerations. I believe in what's real. I don't have to use exaggerations to promote the move of God. It's just awesome. Even in the Sunday school, we have Fresh Start Breakfast Club. You can listen to them on this same broadcast, on the same webpage. And We say things, and then we go over there, and Pastor McCann is always preaching it. And sometimes we look at each other, we just in sync with the Holy Spirit. We're one body, and Jesus is the head. So if he can tell you what to do and you do it, then you're an active member of that body. And then the Holy Spirit, he will guide you to cooperate with everybody that's guided by the Holy Spirit. Your work will work together with other people's work. It's really just one work. Your work that he gave you to do, your obedience will coincide with the obedience of the whole body of Christ. Now, the false teachers that are out there teaching, it will never coincide with what they're saying, because that's worldly. That has nothing to do with God. False teaching is not anointed, has nothing to do with the move of God. But the real move of God is what you'll be coinciding with. You'll be an operative member of the body of Christ. And the people that have gone off track, gone off on a tangent, that's not included. But everybody that's yielded to the Holy Spirit, speaking by the Holy Spirit, that's one work. And that's what we want to get to. That's the kind of people God's going to build on. And that's the kind of people we need. At the beginning of this section of teachings, the Lord had me to contrast what Lucifer did, the five statements that caused him to be Satan, and what Jesus did when he washed the disciples' feet. The words say, "Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus." Jesus always had a mind to do what the Father said do. He loved the Father's will. You know, his reward was going in the Father's presence. Now, what if that's true with everybody that loves God? You'll see an awesome move of God, because the Holy Spirit's already doing that among people who love him the most. They're the ones who see the real miracles. But false prophets, they see miracles too. They're just lying wonders. There's leaven in theirs. And their miracles is tainted. Everything about them is tainted, because their eye is not single. They're trying to do God's will using Satan's principles. And that's what we covered in 2 Peter chapter 2. When we finish 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 3. But before we do, in obedience to the Holy Spirit, I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it says, verse 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son," this is Paul talking to brother Timothy. Now, Timothy was also an apostle, but Paul was teaching him. You know, he's like the older women giving younger women advice. He's an older apostle. Every apostle and every minister need to read 1 and 2 Timothy, because this section of the Word of God gives us teaching from a senior apostle. All right, verse 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. All the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Now he said, commit these things, the things that's personal to the Holy Spirit, things that the Lord had me teaching you as a mature man of God, teach them also to faithful men. He didn't say unfaithful. He said, he made a distinction. You have to watch sometimes when the Word of God makes a distinction, because the Holy Spirit in your life will make the same distinctions. Remember, Jesus taught the disciples who asked him to break the parables down. He taught them plainly. And everybody else, he taught them parables. Now, the Holy Spirit will do the same thing, and he's doing it here. He said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ, of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him also, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding of these things. Now, in these scriptures here, it shows that distinction, how important it is. We're going to skip over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now watch verse 3. This is why that in chapter 2 he made such a distinction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now you see why people don't follow the Holy Spirit. A lot of people have itching ears, and they influence people who are true. When there's a dead influence out there that people look up to, remember, every minister bear fruit after its kind. A false prophet is not going to, it's not going to persuade people, nobody, to follow God and be independent of them. False prophets are trying to build their own kingdom, and they want you to be dependent. They don't want you to be independent of them. Now mark the ministers who always try to make you depend on them. God called me to be an apostle, but I just will not treat people like I'm the only man that they can listen to. First of all, the words say, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's my responsibility to preach that to people, to let people know you have to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. I'm anointed to give people a certain part of the knowledge of God and let them know that they can receive all of the knowledge of God if they want to. Because Jesus says, seeking you shall find. Whatever you need to know, that Jesus can fill in the blanks. I'm just somebody to help you out. But false prophets, they're trying to build a network, a kingdom, just like Lucifer was. It's no different. They got the same goals in mind. And they use fear tactics and lies to do it. So everybody who preaches, they bear fruit after their kind. False prophets will vex your spirit if you love God. But in these scriptures here, in verse 3, he said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they will turn away their ears from the truth, and anybody who speaks, even the Holy Ghost. Now I added that part. I'm going to read it again so you'll know what I added. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, I showed you something right there in verse 4. They'll turn their ears away from the truth, and anybody who teaches the truth, even the Holy Spirit, even God. That's what people are going to run after because they love this world. And if they love this world, they become the enemy of God. They can't love both. If they, you know, a false prophet to tell you to seek God, he ain't going to do that. He teach the word in a way that it's not right to divide. It's not holy. He do the same thing that Satan did to Jesus. He said he quoted a scripture out of context to get him off track. Once he quoted that scripture out of context, that scripture had no anointing on it. It was not the truth of the Holy Spirit. It was not of the Holy Spirit. So it was not of God. And the word came back and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then he said, man, you should not tempt the Lord. See, he tried to trick the word of God by twisting the word of God. And the word of God, which is Jesus, spoke back and rebuked him and said, you don't tempt God. He said, if you be the son of God, throw yourself off this mountain. Then he quoted that scripture, Psalm 91. And then Jesus said, you don't tempt God. Satan is tricky. And that's what slows us down if we let him. We just can't afford to let him do that to us anymore. You know, verse 4 tells you a lot about what's happening. I'm going to read, let's look at it one more time. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. When people are, when they turn away from the truth, it's like they would rather believe any lie to go forward it's crazy. Everybody knows it's crazy to turn away from God. And people don't want to look bad. They don't want to look evil. But they do look for an excuse so that when they go by something else, they won't look so bad. Remember this. Every tree bears fruit after its own kind. So does Lucifer. If you follow Lucifer, you become like Lucifer. If you follow Satan, you become like Satan. And if you follow Jesus, you become more and more like Jesus. When the foundation is wrong, the whole thing becomes corrupt. So the enemy, when he started out, he didn't say he wanted to be a monster. He said he wanted to take over. He said, I will exalt my throne. He was thinking about himself, and he was thinking about being over others. That was his desire. That's why he became sin. Because the word of God is not structured that way. The Lord know this. The Lord chose what was best. And I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, how can a man, you know, I'm thinking about the ways of God and how they work. I said, how can a man go to another country, another town that he doesn't know anybody? He get out of a cab, and in 10 years he develops and has a thriving business. He goes from nothing, from having nothing in that small town, but in 10 years he has a thriving business. And the Lord answered me with three words. He said, be a servant. That's how the kingdom of God grows. It doesn't grow by you seeking the people that will serve you. See, Satan's strategy is to make servants out of everybody. God's, the life of God, enables you to be a servant. Now, when you're a servant, the laws of sowing and reaping is the wind of your sails, is the wind in your sails. Think of a ship. It had, you know, without any wind, it doesn't go anywhere. So what you do, as you serve other people, spiritual wealth is mounted up on your life in heaven. And it can come back as to fill any need you got or can come up with. And as you go about doing good, because you love God and you want to express his love towards others, your eye is on serving a purpose, you automatically are going to be blessed. That's why the Lord told the rich young ruler to take, he had a problem with what he trusted. He trusted his money, and he loved his money and trusted his money more than he trusted God, though he kept God's commandments. He had a love for God, but he loved his money more. And so he said, Jesus said, one thing you lack. Sell all of your possessions, give to the poor, and come and follow me. If he had done that, my friend, he would have become a servant. He may have started reluctantly, but he would have found out that this kind of wisdom of God is the most blessed wisdom you can live in. It is life. It is of God. It is pure. Treating people right because it's the right thing to do. The way you love man is the way you love God. The way you serve man is the way you serve God. So it is with everybody. So when that's your motive, is to be a blessing to people in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, to be a blessing to people, to go about doing good. You know, I saw something blessed today. I saw something. It was so strange. This lady had on one of those vests that they use when they cut grass on the side of the road. It's highly visible. A safety vest, as if she was on the side of the road cutting grass. And she had up a sign, and her sign said, "Drive by prayer." You could drive up in your car, and she'd pray with you, and you could keep going. Now, she wants to be a servant. Drive by prayer. I said, now this is... I said, this lady, it's like a person going about trying to do good. She had a sign that said, "Drive by prayer." And on the other side of the road was her partner over there. And they must have went to the same church, or I don't know. But, hey, it was a blessing. It was a blessing to see. It was also humorous, but it was a blessing. It was a blessing. You could see that she wanted to serve God. Now, if you go about trying to serve man, what's going to happen to your motives? Your motives are pure. You're doing the same thing that Jesus did. And we bear seed after our kind. False prophets, they're seeds of Satan. And they bear fruit. And their fruit becomes like Satan. And they come out as they grow. They do the same thing. Lucifer turned his ears away from the truth, and he turned them to fables. So his seed after him do the same thing. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Verse 5 says, But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And then verse 6 says, Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance." He said, "Do thy diligence to come to me shortly, to come shortly unto me. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, Demas left to go back to the world because the seeds of the world grew in his heart, because his vision left that of God. He stopped looking to the Lord. His eye became infiltrated with the world. And he did exactly what's written in verse 4. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They would rather hear a lie, a soothing lie, than the life-changing truth of God's word. They want to stop being a servant. False teachers that are corrupt, they have no intention of serving anybody. Your intentions change. No matter how rich you get, no matter how wealthy they become, it's not enough. They're on the wrong path. They are not like Jesus. They become the, and it's very important for people to understand that in these days. A lot of people have turned and have changed, and they go after filthy money. They go after a method of life that will not work. They live a fabled life. And they don't do, they forsake the truth of God's word. They have no joy, no strength, and no peace. But that's what is, there's an emptiness that comes with it. Now, eventually, they become depressed, because whenever the word is not in your heart, what if the word is not in your heart, you start collapsing. And it's like a depression, a void of the word of God. When I asked the Lord about depression, I said, I never thought to ask the Lord about depression, because I'm not depressed. I ain't never been depressed. And I said, teach me about depression. He said, it's the absence of God's word. If the word of God fills your heart and makes you strong, when there's a void of God's word, you start collapsing. And when people tell you the truth, you can't believe it. You can, everything that people say to you to show you how to make your life better and advance, you can't see yourself happy anymore when you're depressed. And that comes, my friend, after following after Lucifer. And it starts with some kind of sorrow. He said depression starts with a sorrow, and it develops into depressions. And then people start wanting not to exist, because they can't believe that their life can be any better. And when you tell them the word of God, they can't see it working for them. Now, God loved them too. His love don't change just because people go off track. He loved the crazy false prophets. He loved the people that look for a lie.